This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Class, I don't recommend that you do anything that I wouldn't do. And in that light, I just went to Harbor Freight Tools on the Internet. And we have many copies of what they call the Pittsburgh brand. Pittsburgh as in the city in Pennsylvania. Pittsburgh Pro, half-inch drive, 25-inch breaker bar, $16.99. Now, they have it with a nice cushion handle. You don't need that. And that's $19.99. So $3 more for the cushioned handle. Just get the plain one. It's got the chrome finish on it. It works really well. We haven't broken one yet. And they're pretty tough. Now, I'm not crazy about all Pittsburgh tools or Harbor Freight tools, but these are pretty good. They're real simple, and you can use them for, they're inexpensive enough to put in each car if you're fortunate enough to have a vehicle with a spare tire. About 27% of vehicles, new vehicles, do not have spare tires, and you can blame that on the accountants and the greedy shareholders and the greedy board of directors and the greedy management of the automakers. So 25-inch breaker bar, and you keep it at your left-hand side in the passenger compartment right next to, at the base of the driver's seat, where you can reach it in a hurry should you need to do any tuning up of an attacker, okay? That would be second choice if you don't have first choice, which would be your handgun. Next lesson, this is a really important lesson to me, and I insist on this. Now, I'm pretty cognizant of this because we live in a rural area and on a dirt road with a gravel driveway. And the wind blows and dust lands on the windshield of vehicles that are parked outside. And even if the vehicles are parked in the barn with a concrete floor, dust still gets on the windshield. Now, what typically happens is you get in the car and you go. Well, if you have to use the windshield wipers, if you check them, you'll find that there is grit, dust, sand, stuck to the base of the windshield right where the windshield wiper blade meets the windshield. And if you use your windshield wiper, you will drag that grit across the windshield and scratch it. No question about it. It's guaranteed. And if you look at vehicles, you'll find that just about every vehicle has a scratched windshield, because the operators of those vehicles don't wipe off the windshield wiper and wash the windshield before they drive if the car's been sitting for a few days. We do it all the time. We have a garden hose, and we rinse off the windshield, rinse off the windows to make sure that we can see out of them and that we're not going to scratch the windshield wiper should somebody bump into the windshield wiper switch. Kyle, your comments.
Well, that's further than I go, Vince, but I can tell you for sure that I drive a lot of older rigs, older cars, and you can see the little tiny scratch marks. If you look carefully in the right kind of light, you can see where the windshield wiper comes up and over, and it literally is in an old windshield. You can actually see those little scratch marks starting across the windshield. Around here in Montana, I don't know about where you are, Vince, but there's so many rocks on the road and trucks and hauling gravel and everything like that. Ours don't usually last long enough to get that bad. We usually have to have them replaced before they ever get that bad. But we're lucky if we get, 6 years out of a windshield around here.
Okay. There is a lesson about repairing your windshield cracks. That's in the It's in the repair section, so I'm not going to get into that today. But there is a lesson on how to fix a cracked windshield for about $3.33. But there is a lesson, lesson number 297. I'm kind of skipping around. It's called, lending your vehicle. Now, how many times have you experienced someone asking you to borrow the family car? And you may have multiple family cars. How many times has someone said, can I borrow your car? I just need to go and get this thing. So what do you do? Well, what we do is we nip it right in the bud. We say, we don't lend the family car. We don't lend our vehicles to anyone. But if it's an emergency and you need to go there, I'll take you there. But I'm driving. Or I'll get it for you. But we don't lend, and this, you know, that'd be before the genocide, right? We don't put people even in our car. Even people we know. We'll get it for them, but we're not going to lend the car. Kyle, any comments?
Well, we don't lend mine except the family. You know, I mean, obviously, if you've got, I've got four kids that are out and are not home, you know, none of them are home anymore. And so if one of them gets in a bind or something, of course, I will loan my car to them because they know how to treat it. But other than somebody else, I don't loan it to people even people that I know, I don't loan my cars out either.
Yeah, and when I said that, I didn't mean your immediate family. I did not mean your children. I mean other people, neighbors, friends, coworkers, you know, absolutely not. And what happens? What happens if there's an accident? Who do you think pays the extra increased insurance charges? You do. And who is going to take better care of your vehicle than you? Who is going to be more cautious with your vehicle than you? Who is going to drive more defensively with your car than you? Just you and your family. That's it. So it's crazy to lend things like vehicles and equipment to other people. And why is it that they don't have one? Why can't they drive their own? What happened? Is it because theirs is broken? I can understand that now. But other than that, you know, if they ran out of gas, boy, that's a heck of a problem that they caused themselves, right? So why is that my problem? So we don't lend our tractors. We don't lend our chainsaws. We don't lend our trailers. We don't lend our cars. And we don't lend our tools. But we'll help somebody if we like them and they're nice and they're polite and they appreciate it. We will help them. But we'll operate the equipment, the tools, etc. Kyle, any further comments?
Well, no. You pretty well covered that part right there, because the reality, just like you said, Vince, is nobody anymore, almost nobody. I mean, virtually, I know maybe one guy that lives around here by me that I could know for sure would treat my equipment as good as I do.
Right. That's right. So, and here, here's another lesson, and it's called park uphill. Right? So this is just a continuation, if you will, of lending the vehicle. So when you go to a parking lot with the family car, everybody should know that, let's say you're going to the Chinese factory outlet. You got a big parking lot and lots of cars in there. Do you park closest to the entrance? That may be downhill. And a lot of times it is downhill. The front door, the entry door to the store. But everybody seems to want that closest parking space. I don't want that one. I want the one that's uphill, where no other cars are, because gravity is ever present. All the time. And gravity and the wind will take shopping carts that people carelessly leave all over the parking lot, and it'll carry them downhill. You hardly ever see a shopping cart going uphill. It's got to be a strong wind to push a cart uphill.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take much wind to push it downhill. Okay. So I don't want my vehicle smashed into by a cart that was left by a careless and reckless person. So park uphill. And the other thing, Kyle, any comments about that?
Nope. You got it. Good.
Okay. So here's the next one. So let's say you park your vehicle and the parking lot is tilted from right to left. So that means that, you know, it's kind of on a hill, but all the parking spaces are on a hill. So if you pull into a parking space and there's a car on either side of you, and the car to your left is uphill, a little higher up than you, but it's a regular parking space and you have the regular amount of room in the parking space. If there's a passenger that gets into that car to your left and they open the door, there's almost 100% chance that that door opened by the passenger is going to leave the control of that passenger and go flying into the side of your car. It's almost 100% certainty. I don't know why that is. People can't seem to hold on to their doors, especially passengers, because the passengers don't seem to care as much about the car as the driver does. I'm talking about the other car. So I don't park where other car passengers or drivers can let their car door slam into the side of my car. That's why I don't have dings and dents in the side of my car, other than the ones that were put there by the previous owner. Is that by used cars? Kyle, any comments about that?
You know, I can't tell you, Vince, how many parking spots I've passed up just for that very reason. Yep, mm-hmm. Exactly true.
Yeah, and it doesn't cost more to walk. It's actually good. I mean, if you listen to class on Mondays, or if you read the section on lessons about walking, you know, according to Dr. Shealy, you ought to do it anyway. You ought to take the farthest parking space just for your cardiovascular health. Okay, so that's parking uphill. Passenger distractions. Young people seem to get excited about lots of things. And they make noises. They have outbursts and they shout and they get all excited about shiny things. Passenger distractions are a real problem for young drivers. Look, look, look. And that's not straight ahead. That's look over to the left or the right, or turn around and look while you're going down the highway, or while that young driver is going down the highway. Passenger distractions are a real problem. And I don't allow them in any of my vehicles. And I don't have that problem because only the family is in our vehicles. Period. There are no other occupants in our vehicles other than family. And so, if I'm going somewhere and they say, hey, why don't you ride with us? I'll go, well, I appreciate that. I'll follow you. I'll drive my own vehicle. That's what I do. We'll be right back.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunnyvae heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunnyvae heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunnyvae heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight. At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Class, I'd love to hear your comments. Instructor at USAPrepares.com. Instructor at USAPrepares.com. Do you like these kind of lessons or not? Do you like, would you rather we went real fast? You know, like the equivalent of news in a flash, lessons in a flash, or would you rather we flesh them out and give you more detail the way we're doing it today? Today's, you know, we're going slowly, we're giving you more detail explaining why, not just the what, but the why and the how and the where and the when. Here's another lesson, parking in the shade. So I park our vehicles in the shade. And the reason is the sun is brutal on tires. It causes cracks in tires that would normally not fail. It makes them age very quickly, even if the tire's not moving, just sitting in the sun. The other thing is it's rough on the paint. It's rough on the headliners. Depending on the color of your car, the darker the color of your car, the hotter the skin of the car gets the paint, the steel, the hotter it gets. And the headliners, the foam that's between the headliner and the roof of your car disintegrates. And the headliners fall down when the roof gets really hot. And the roof can get over 150 degrees in the sun. Over. So hot you can't touch it. You know, depending on the color of your car. And black's the worst. Dark colors are terrible in terms of heat absorption. Kyle, any comments about... And the headlight lenses, the acrylic lenses. They can't take the sun either. Kyle, any of your comments about those things?
Vince, sometimes I can't always get to shade, but I will always try, even in a parking lot, if I can, and if the sun's coming up in the east, I will point the car towards the west, if I can get a parking spot that will do that, to try to keep, you know, all of the main part of the sun from hitting the front dash. at the very least. I try to put it, well, try to park my car pointed normally north, and that way the east and west, it's hitting the side of the car somewhat, but I try to keep it from hitting the windshield, because inevitably the front dash, the plastic that is on the front dash there will dry out and crack, and it will just bake that unless you put in some kind of a car, you know, window shield that goes on the inside of your car, which is a great idea. I just don't always do it, but I do try to always park the cars toward the north, and that way if they're not getting the direct heat of the rising sun or the setting sun.
Very good. Here's lesson number 275. Before getting in your vehicle, the family vehicle, this applies to everyone. Everyone who is going to operate that vehicle, walk around the vehicle before getting in. There's a lot of reasons to do that. And as you're walking around, you can look for leaks. You can kind of look under the vehicle. Now, this could be if you've gone to the Chinese factory outlet and you're coming back to your car in the parking lot. You walk around it. Before you leave your driveway, if you have one, you walk around the vehicle. Sometimes you back up. Sometimes you don't. But if you walk around, you will see, if you're in a parking lot, you'll see if there's a baby carriage or a cart that's left behind you, or someone drops something that's going to, you know, damage your tires. You'll see if you have leaks coming out from either the rear of the car or the front of the car, meaning the engine or the differential in the rear. You can determine whether your tires are going flat just by looking at them. So you can see if they're hazards, or you can see if you're going to run over something, like a person or an animal, by just simply walking around the vehicle. And when I say walk around 360 degrees, Kyle?
Yeah, I agree completely, Ben. You save yourself a lot of trouble and a lot of hassle. Ruined tires, hurt people, you know, broken toys, all kinds of stuff. If you just walk around and pay attention to your surroundings and what's around your car.
And if you, there's a lesson about this as well, and that is, where is the best place to have a flat tire? Assuming, you know, the vehicle is not moving. It's wherever it is. It's better to have a flat tire in a parking lot or in your driveway than it is to have a flat tire while you're driving. So check your tires. The next lesson, when we come back from the break, is unexpected guests.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Update. More than 200 people rescued in Harris County, Texas as rivers flood. Residents being rescued on airboats from their homes. New developments out of the Middle East, where a deal to release Israeli hostages from Hamas captivity is still being negotiated in Egypt. Meanwhile, the Israeli cabinet voting to remove the Al Jazeera TV network from operating in Israel. Back here in the U.S., pro-Palestinian protesters interrupt the University of Michigan graduation ceremony. The demonstrators generators removed on Saturday. President Biden speaking at the White House saying students have a right to protest but not to break the law. Biden scheduled to speak at the U.S. Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. as Yom HaShoah, Holocaust Remembrance Day, begins, a week of events planned to educate this generation as to the atrocities the Nazis committed against Jews. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late. In 17 years, Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
This can be sliding. What are today's hot
last day?
God, you're
take my
when you go to the
DC
for 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAprepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Finelli.
A little side adventure class. So, talking about lending your vehicle. Absolutely don't do it. Unless you're talking about family members. So there's a case in Michigan. And the owner of a vehicle brought it to a dealership to have an oil change. Real simple thing, right? So he drops the vehicle off, and the mechanic is working on the vehicle. And another employee of the dealership, the mechanic is employed by the dealership, and so is this other guy, this 19-year-old guy, who doesn't know how to drive a stick shift. And for some reason, this 19-year-old employee gets in the vehicle, starts it, and takes his foot off the clutch because he doesn't know how to drive a stick shift, and runs over the mechanic changing the oil and kills him. So what happens next is unbelievable. Employees in the state of Michigan, there are some rules that say employees can't sue other employees or their company. So what happens is the family of the mechanic who was killed by this moronic 19-year-old who doesn't know how to drive a stick shift, who gets behind the wheel with the engine running, doesn't know what he's doing. He kills his fellow worker, his co-worker. The family of the man, the mechanic who was killed, decides to sue. But they can't sue the dealership for negligence, for hiring this moron. They can't sue the moron because he's a fellow employee. State rules say you can't do that. So guess who gets sued? You're not going to believe it. The owner of the vehicle, the guy who dropped it off for the oil change, who wasn't even there. Never lend your vehicle. Because let's say you go to a restaurant and they have valet parking and you have a nice car. Do you think they're not going to be doing burnouts with your car? What if they have an accident? What if they're in Michigan and you end up getting sued for going out to dinner and passing your keys to a guy with a valet jacket or uniform on? Kyle, any comments?
No, not on those, Vince. You cover it real well.
Okay. Unexpected guests, lesson number 276. So when you do that walk-around class, let's say you're a gal, and you just hop in your car, and it's got a back seat, you know, like a sedan, and it's got tinted glass like many vehicles have right now, and you can't really see in the vehicle too well, and you just hop in the seat, and you find out that someone has jimmied the locks, used the electronic key, grabbed the code, copied your key remotely, which can all be done, is sitting in the back seat of your car, and now you're a prisoner. What do you do about unexpected guests? Well, first of all, you don't get in your car and you look in the windows to make sure nobody's there. Kyle, any comments?
Well, that's one good reason to not have too heavy of a dark tint on your rear windows. Mm-hmm. I do like to have tinted windows, but if you have too heavy of a dark tint on your rear windows, you can't see who's in the back unless you're even in the, if you have it on the rear windshield, you can't see that either, you know, so that gives them anonymity and, you know, they can be hiding back there. So I agree, Vince, you just got to be careful. The other thing that I always tell my kids is that if you're driving, you drive with the doors locked. Because in the bigger cities and when people go places, there's these crazy people that'll walk right up and open your car door and try to get in. You know, drive with your doors locked.
Okay, you just covered lesson 327. Lock your doors. Okay. The best time to buy gas. Class, when is the best time to buy gas? Does it matter? Now, assuming normal times, assuming the price isn't going up, you know, three times a day, assuming the prices are relatively stable, because I can't advise you on the best time to buy gas in this current market. But before the instability of the market, we certainly can. The best time to buy gas is in the morning. The morning. And here's why. Because overnight, typically the temperature gets lower, lower, lower overnight. It's cooler at night. And gasoline is sold by volume. Gasoline, like other liquids, other than water, is more dense when it's colder. So you're actually getting a more fuel per dollar or unit of money when the fuel is cold than when it's warm. Warm fuel takes up more space than cold fuel. That's why there's room for expansion in the fuel tank. So the best time to buy fuel, if you're paying by the gallon, in which we all are, is in the morning when the gas is the coolest. I don't buy gasoline from gas stations that have the gas tanks outside in the sun. I don't do that. I only buy fuel where the gas stations have the fuel underground, where the temperature is cooler. Now, if you buy gasoline that has just been delivered and the roads are hot and it's a hot day, that fuel is a lot warmer in the fuel tank, in the tanker truck, than it is, than the fuel is that's stored underground in the gas station's tank. So you want to buy fuel that is cooler because you get more fuel per dollar because the fuel is not expanded in the heat. Kyle, any comments about that?
Yeah, I've got a couple of them. One is kind of funny, but you will find out that if you are going on a trip and you fill your car up first thing in the morning and you are driving as you're taking off and the day is heating up, because of that fuel expansion, you'll actually find that you get a little bit better gas mileage. The other thing that you do not want to do as far as filling your car up is unless you're driving, you know, 15 to 20 miles, you don't want to fill your gas tank right to the very tip top. Don't do that because there's a canister in your engine compartment that's part of your evaporative control system. I can't remember the name of it right now. For some reason, I'm having a brain fart. But anyway, if you fill it up too much and you're not driving very far and that gas expands, it will cause that the actual liquid to get into where there is a where this evaporative, vapors are supposed to be.
Yeah, it's a charcoal canister.
Yeah, right.
So there's a can, it's a plastic can class with a rubber hose that's connected to the fuel tank. And the reason you don't smell gasoline outside modern vehicles, I'm talking about vehicles probably since after the 1960s, I'm calling them modern vehicles, you don't smell gas fumes like you used to in the 60s and before, is because of this containment system, which has a charcoal canister. So it absorbs the fumes of the gasoline. And if you fill your tank too much, if it clicks off when you're filling the tank, and you go, I can put another dollar's worth in. Well, that's the old days. I can put another gallon in. If you do that, you can damage the charcoal canister, and you can rupture the hose that goes to the charcoal canister as well. So don't do it. When it clicks off, it clicks off, unless there's something wrong with the fuel acceptance of your tank. If there's a known problem and you have to, keep squeezing that pump handle to fill it up, that's one thing. But under normal circumstances, when it clicks off, stop. Right there. Okay? Next lesson, number 279 is, and these are out of order, who pays for gas? Now, why is that a concern? Well, and this is the family car. So there's an assumption there that there are younger people driving. And if mom and dad are paying for gas all the time, there is very little understanding about the cost per mile and the fuel that the vehicle uses. There's very little understanding if a young person never pays for gas. But if they start paying for gas, they will start seeing that fuel gauge go down faster the farther they push on the accelerator. So Jackrabbit starts, eat fuel like crazy. Stop and go driving, eats fuel like crazy. Hurrying up and waiting, eats fuel like crazy. Excessive idling, eats fuel like crazy. So who pays for gas? Everybody should pay for gas. Everybody that uses the vehicle to get a full understanding of what it costs to run that machine. Kyle?
Yeah, I agree completely, Vance. Yep, I used to tell the kids, you know, if they wanted to, Dad, can I borrow the car to go in town, do blah, 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 hang out with friends or whatever like that. They were going to do something. I'd say, that's fine. Just, you know, put 10 bucks in, you know, because, and they all earned their own money one way or the other. They never got an allowance, not once. And my kids always earned their own money. Same thing with me. When I was up, my dad would let me borrow it. Same thing. But back then, Dad would say, you know, put 5 bucks in. You know, it was no big deal. But Dad would let me borrow it because he knew I'd never have ever wrecked one of my dad's cars or trucks or anything like that. So he would just turn me loose, and you learned that, you know, it costs. You have to take responsibility for your actions, whether that is good or bad. And that's the biggest problem we've got in our society right now, is personal responsibility or lack thereof. So I think it's a great idea.
Okay, fuel in the tank, since everybody's buying fuel, never let the fuel tank get below a quarter of a tank. Never let the fuel tank get below a quarter of a tank. Should I say it a different way? And there's a reason why. So what happens with fuel is there's always some amount of contamination that is delivered by the gas station into your tank. It can be a couple drops of water from the guy who used the nozzle last in the rain, and there's droplets of water, and the water ends up in the bottom of the tank. That's one thing. And there's silt, and there's dust, and there's fuel contaminants. And it ends up at the bottom. Gravity's always working, and it ends up in the bottom of the fuel tank. And what happens is that contamination is in greater concentration when you have less fuel in the tank. When you have a full tank to mix with the contamination, there's less parts per million of contamination if you have a full tank. When you have almost no fuel in the tank, there's a greater concentration of contaminants. Those contaminants plug up what's called the fuel filter, which is like a sock on the intake of the fuel pump. And where are the fuel pumps? Almost all the time now, they're in the fuel tank. So if you get a clogged fuel filter, all you have to do is take out the fuel tank and then take out the fuel pump. Sometimes you don't have to take out the fuel tank, but in a lot of trucks you do. It's a big problem. Some cars have an access panel that you take out, and then you get the fuel pump, take the fuel pump out, clean the sock. Or if the fuel sock or the fuel filter at the inlet of the fuel pump is plugged up, the fuel pump works really, really hard, and it burns out the fuel pump faster. Now, fuel pumps aren't all that expensive. You can probably get one for $150 or less. But the labor, by the time you're done, you're looking at $400. If you have a truck, maybe $750 to $1,000. You can prevent all that by never letting your fuel tank get below a half a tank. How many people do it? Very few. Never let your fuel tank get below a half tank. Kyle, your comments when we come back?
You bet.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Hoping to get through four more lessons, but Kyle, we've only gotten through 13 of the 67 lessons in the chapter called Using the Family Car. Kyle, your thoughts about fuel tanks and fuel?
Well, we're making great progress, Vince. For us, not too bad, you know. So there's two things. One, if you take a gallon jug of water and you put a little tiny bit of debris in the bottom of it and you have it about a third of the way full and you turn back and forth real quickly, you will see that the churning action of that water picks that debris up real easy. And so that's if you the comparison between that third of a gallon and a full gallon, if you did exactly the same thing, most of the debris with a full gallon will stay on the bottom. So that's the reason Vince is telling you that. Not only does it churn up the debris and crud at the bottom of your tank for your pump to have to suck up it'll plug that little sock up. That's why. Number two is that the pumps are usually mounted in a vertical up and down position. So the motor, if you will, the little pump itself, the electrical part of that, is towards the top part of the little pump. Well, if you have gasoline, the gasoline that's in the tank's the only thing that cools that little pump. And so if you get down below that, then that is operating in the air, and it'll heat it up more, and you can actually burn the pump up. Actually, with running it out of fuel, I've seen it burn a pump up in a brand-new vehicle. One time that happened when I was a service manager. They ran it plumb till it ran out of gas, and it burnt the pump up. So I always told my kids this, it costs you exactly the same amount of money to keep your car full as it does to keep it on half. So if you're going to drive it anyway, just keep it full.
Absolutely agreed. Now, half is the minimum, class. And there's another reason, and Kyle alluded to this, and that is that the fuel pump is an electric motor, and it's cooled by the surrounding fuel of the electric motor inside the fuel tank. So what happens is, as you use fuel, fuel is delivered through some plumbing, through some pipe, through or tubing, through or under the floor of the vehicle from the gas tank in the rear to the engine, where the engine is really hot, typically almost 200 degrees under hood temperatures. And then the excess fuel that's not used is returned back to the fuel tank, but it's heated up by the traveling to the engine compartment. So what happens is over time, as you drive, the fuel in the tank gets hotter, hotter, hotter. Okay? And that fuel that gets hotter, because it's made the round trip from the fuel tank where it's cool up to the engine where it's hot, and then gets returned to the fuel tank as warmer fuel, that hotter and hotter fuel in the gas tank is not able to cool the fuel pump as much as a larger amount of fuel in the fuel tank, because you have more fuel in the tank to absorb the heat from the fuel that's returned to the fuel tank. I know it's complicated, so I'll just drop it right there. Next thing, heavy key rings. Don't do it. Don't put a lot of keys on the key rings, because the ignition lock and the ignition switch can't take the weight. I see people that look like they're custodians at buildings, and they've got like 40 keys, I'm exaggerating, on the key ring. Just have the fewest number of keys that you can stand on the key ring, and that will save the wear and tear on the lock cylinder and the ignition switch. Kyle?
Yeah, true. Absolutely. I'll let you get to one other one maybe before the end of the show.
Okay. All right, here's one, running the air conditioning. Okay, so how often should you run the air conditioning? Once a week, even in the wintertime. And the reason for that is the air conditioning system, the compressor, has seals. They are synthetic rubber seals, O-rings. And if they stay moist, they will be less likely to wear out and leak and dry up and leak. So if you run your air conditioning system, even in the winter, for 30 seconds, you will keep that refrigerant and the lubricating oils in the system rather than not using your air conditioning for, you know, the cool months, 3, 4, 5, 6 months of the year. Your air conditioning system will last longer. That doesn't mean drive with the air conditioning on in the winter. That just means cycle it for 30 seconds or so once a week. Kyle?
Yeah, you can, and you can actually turn on your air conditioning system with the heat. Let's say it's cold out, and, you know, say it's zero outside, and you want to defrost your windows. If you move your selector switch over there to defrost, that kicks the air conditioning system on. And because your car uses the air conditioning system to dry the air to use to defrost your windows. So that'll work as well.
And hiding a key. Let's say you have an old-fashioned key. You know, it's a metal key. The way I have on my old trucks. You can hide a key. And there's a great place to do it. I don't want to tell you on the air because I don't want everybody to know. But it's in the book. But find a spot where you can hide a key where you can get to it. And in the gas cap is not a good place. Okay? And the magnets, I don't think they're all that great either. It's a really good place, and it doesn't cost anything to do it. And you can think of it. I'm sure it'll come to you. Kyle, thank you so much for being in class today.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.